knowledge. My blank Antichrist. We talked about a lot of personal relationships in our first lesson this morning. We talked about who is the Antichrist, and the Antichrist, this word when it breaks down is anti means to oppose or to be against, and Christ is the anointed one. We filled in a lot of blanks. I was talking to Mom just between our lessons this morning, and she told me she didn't realize how many people in her lives were Antichrist, and that's really what I'm trying to get across to all of us. It's not one person. I'm not saying, well, because one person makes that statement means that they've got a lot of bad influences in their lives. It means all of us have influences that are not godly, and we have to be very cautious of them. And again, the titles, if you see a title on somebody's business card or something, it like might say Roger Starnes, digital media specialist. What if you've got all these other people that we talked about? My uncle, Antichrist. Does he really want to be known as Antichrist? Well, he probably needs to know that his life is in such a condition that he is living a life as an Antichrist. A husband, daughter, wife, all these people that we talked about before could certainly qualify or be titled as Antichrist if they're exhibiting behaviors as such. So, I told you on the first lesson I was going to lead up to this as part of the study and the plans for this lesson. I thought this was my big point to make. And maybe you don't care too much about it, but I think it will impact all of us. It impacts me because it's something I've been thinking about for months. So who is the most dangerous person in your life to lead you astray? Greater than all these below. And I said coworker, boss, friends, classmate, neighbor, cousin, aunt, uncle, grandmother, grandfather, brother, sister, mom, dad, wife, husband, son, or daughter. Who's worse than that? Myself. Antichrist. Let that sink in for a second. How many times have you heard somebody say, the biggest problem in my life is me? That's really what this part of the lesson is transitioning to. We could point our fingers at a lot of other people around us, maybe brothers and sisters in the church, maybe our moms or dads, aunts and uncles, and say, you're the reason that I'm like this. I'm a product of you. My upbringing is because you did this. Well, that may be true, but what is salvation open to? I am not a Christian because my mom and dad were Christians. I'm not a Christian because my great-grandparents are Christians. I'm not a Christian because Christ came to the earth. All those that have been saved and been added to the church individually were responsible for their lives. They came forward. They made the confession of what type of person that they'd been. They said they wanted Christ in their life. They said, I believe in Christ. I want to be baptized. Everything for Christianity is based on individual action. The same is true about who will be held accountable for not doing what is right. As I closed the lesson earlier, I said, well, every time we point our finger at somebody, we might be that person. Well, in our own lives, we typically are always that person. When you fail to do something right, who causes that? Isn't it you? The Bible talks about, and we brought it up in class this morning, that the passage that I read says a person may have these desires, but it becomes sin when they let those desires actually fulfill the things that they shouldn't be doing. And that's when sin arises. So out of all these people we mentioned, I would suggest to you this morning that the most dangerous person in our lives to lead us astray, greater than all these other ones, is me. Is maybe you as well. So let's look about that. Some deceive quotes or some quotes on deception. I didn't really put any names on these things because some of these things have been around for a long time. Others, I really don't think, have anything to do with religion, but I thought they were very useful for us to think about deception. And going back to the first lesson, an Antichrist is a deceiver, somebody that deceives us from doing what God wants us to do. Like this one, don't trust what you see. Even salt looks like sugar. How many times does that happen? You go to somebody's house and they got a big bowl full of white stuff and you're like, yeah, that looks good. I know some of you guys can go have black coffee with just coffee, and that's astonishing really to me. I have to have some sweetness in there, just like some people have to have just a little cream. I just have to have one teaspoon, and coffee's all for me. So if I go to somebody's house and it looks like sugar, and I go up there, if I don't take a little bit out and taste it, I'm like, ooh, that is not sugar. What is better in coffee than a couple teaspoons of salt? That will make me feel bad all day. I like this one too. Deception may give us what we want for the present, but it will always take away in the end. Isn't that true? That looks like a great idea. Well, sometimes it doesn't work out that way. And especially when we apply that to the people in our lives that may be influencing us for what they think is right and what we should be doing. Those who follow the crowd usually get lost in it. There's another big one for us too, isn't it? Something we just start paying attention to those around us and like, hey, this is pretty good. Well, going back to that picture that I put up in our first lesson, you're a goose and you're flying around and like, man, I'm sick of flying. I've been flying for 8 days and this is just getting boring. Look, oh, those people down there, those ducks, goose down there, they're relaxing. They're eating some fish. That sounds like, come on, guys, let's go. And you go down with them. Well, what happens? The hunter's down there and he's got his eye on you. He's got his bead on you. Your life's gone. Think about that. This is one I think A lot of times people, I've heard this brought up in class in some of the studies that we've had, and I think this is really important. And again, I don't think this was from someone that had any biblical background. I think it's a really important one for us to think about. Is what you believe true, or do you just believe that it's true because you were taught it was true and never looked any further? Absolutely none of us should be here because we think we're doing the right thing. Absolutely none of us should be here because our parents said it's the right thing to do. I should not be here worshiping with you, praising God, and trying to be a Christian because that's what everybody else is doing. We've talked about the Bereans. Mark mentioned it in his prayer. The reason that I'm a Christian, and it better be a reason why I'm a Christian, it better be a reason why all of you are a Christian, is because you heard it was the right thing to do and you found out whether it was true and you looked it up. That's what differentiates us from so many religions that are out there. Everybody says, well, this is good. We're talking about God. We're talking about their Creator. Well, what is the list of things that they are telling us we should be doing? Again, I've said this many times. The Bible is an instruction book. From beginning to end, it has the ingredients for the perfect recipe that everybody would like to make. If you like to cook, it will tell you the best thing that you could possibly ever make, and it will be the best thing you'll ever need again. If you start leaving things out, that's where you get into trouble. So, avoiding the deceivers. Some passages for you. 1 John 2, 24-26. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. So John's saying, this was delivered to you, stick with it. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written you concerning those who try to deceive you. So, you've heard about what you need to do. We're doing them. Keep doing them. Let them continue to be part of your life. There's going to be people trying to say, no, you need to go this way. I've always seen the TV shows. It seems like TV sitcoms were really bad about this. And for whatever reason, I always think of Gilligan's Island was like that. If they were being chased by somebody, there's a sign up on some palm tree that said, go this way to this place. And they'd go, turn it the other way. And everybody's like, oh, let's go this way. Well, they got deceived. They weren't paying attention to where they were going. If they were really smart, the sign wouldn't have mattered. They would figure it out based on their geography or their location, how to get to the right place. Big passage, Galatians 1, 6-10. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ. Again, Paul saying, you Christians, you're doing things that are not right. Well, why is that? You're turning to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you. We're talking about Antichrist, the deceivers. How can we be troubled? Well, it's people trying to get us to do or think about things that are not part of biblical teaching. They trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. So not only are they trying to lead you astray, they're trying to take the words that you're using as your ingredient list and saying, nah, this is a little bit different. Let's try something else. But even if we, talking about the apostles, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Is that one? Okay, you can say that once. Hopefully it gets through. Well, he does it again. As we have said before, so say now again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. Right, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. So again, Paul's saying here, it's very important. You've got what you need to do. You've got the instructions. You've got the ingredient list. If anybody tries to give you a different list, they are not acceptable. Pay attention to the list that I gave you. 2 Corinthians 11, 12-15. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. Again, I always think about, I think it was Peter talking about Paul. Sometimes his words were hard to understand. I know the translations sometimes from Paul sometimes are difficult to understand, but he's saying here, I'm going to keep doing what I'm supposed to do because there's people that are going to be out there trying to boast about what they can do and try to lead me astray. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. So what better way is it to deceive somebody than to look exactly like the person that you think you should be looking to? I'm looking for, and this is a scary thing, I've seen this online, people looking for police officers. Or a police officer comes to your house and they say, hey, we need to get with you. And they're actually robbers, dressed up like police officers. Now, probably one of the most horrible stories, I saw something happen either last year or the year before. This guy was on a jihad. He was going trying to kill the infidels in Europe. He dressed up like a police officer on a motorcycle, went out with a guy that was in the military. He went to this deserted places and he asked him, are you in the military? He says, yeah, I am. And he shot him, killed him right there on the spot because he didn't believe him. That guy thought he was riding with a companion, with somebody that was of the same profession he was, and he was not. No wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. talk about a deception, we're talking about Antichrist, people that you might look to deceive you, Satan himself looking like an angel, walking to him, wow, look at that. That's something I should follow. Well, be careful. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. You know, a lot of times we stop at that passage about Satan transforming himself into an angel of light and say, whoa, we got to be careful because Satan can really deceive us. That's one level. I think the more dangerous level, and one that definitely goes in line with this lesson, we talk about the Antichrist in our lives, is his ministers transforming themselves into ministers of righteousness. That person looks like they're doing the right things according to the Scriptures. I'll follow them. Well, is it really somebody doing what's right? So who is Antichrist in your life? We've talked about these things, all these different individuals there. You need to avoid these deceivers. If these people are preventing you from serving God fully, what are some of the things that we can do? I've got some passages for us maybe to think about. Ephesians 5:1-4, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Fornication and all uncleanliness, covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather give thanks. This is just a small part, and there are some really good passages throughout the New Testament, especially towards the latter books of Paul, that talk about an ingredient list or a list of to-do items of what a righteous, religious person that's serving God faithfully should do. And these are just a few of these things. In this passage, I think the fornication and uncleanliness is certainly talking more about sexual things, but as I pointed out in the first lesson, twist that around and thinking about that relationship of Christ with the church as his bride, and the fornication that we do in that relationship when we don't do what's right. I think, again, it's maybe not in that passage, but that thought should be in our minds. Ephesians 5:5-7, for this you know, that no fornicator, no unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance with the kingdom of Christ. So again, we're looking to those people around us that we see some Antichrist tendencies. Are they doing these things? Let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Now that can apply to two things. The disobedience first is on the person that's deceiving, but the disobedience also falls onto the deceived. If I let myself be beguiled by somebody, but be deceived by somebody, I am also disobedient. It may not feel like it's my fault, but I look to the wrong source for my instruction. And it finishes there, therefore do not be partakers with them. Don't have anything to do with them. Continuing on, verses 8-11. For you were once darkness, are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. The fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So again, going back to that ingredient list. Well, look here, we got goodness and righteousness and truth. That's going to be a good recipe. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. We've talked about this in both lessons. How do we get to know who is the Antichrist? How do we get to know who the deceiver is? Well, we look to see what needs to be done, and we do it. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and we do it. Having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, rather exposing them. Every time I see this passage about light and then exposing things, I think about trying to walk around at night with a flashlight. We live out in the country. If we try to even walk out and feed the dogs at night, I guarantee there's something that one of my kids or wife have left out in the yard that I just forget about, and I will go down. Everything, all my whole purpose is taking food out to the dogs, is spilt out on the ground, and so it serves no purpose. If I got a flashlight, I can say, hey, Roger, look out, there's something there. If I trip on it still, I am being a dumb person. Continuing on, verses 12-14, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, talking about those that practice all these things. But all these things are exposed, again, that light turning on things, so you can see what's ahead of you, are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Now, if we got our eyes closed, we are never going to see what's around us. And we may not be sleeping as Christians. A lot of times we have our eyes closed to the things around us. I don't see that sin. I got my ears closed. I think about the pictures. Their eyes closed, the ears closed, their mouth muzzled. You just are not being careful of the things around you, and so they have an impression on you. 15-17, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. I love that part right there, redeeming the time. Because the days are evil, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Circumspect is something that we don't use in our vocabulary a whole lot, but I just wanted to put the definition there. Being watchful and discreet, cautious, prudent, and well-considered. So use those words. See then that you walk watchfully. See then that you walked discreetly. See then that you walked being cautious, not as fools but wise. See then that you walk prudently. See then that you walked well considered. Be aware of where you're going. Look out for the problems. 18 through 21, and do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Again, all these things in these passages, and it's basically all just taken from Ephesians chapter 5, is a full list. You talk about the ingredients that I keep referring to. This chapter could be used to help us see the Antichrist in our lives, to help avoid the deceivers in our lives. So again, who is Antichrist in your life? You know, we can strike out the Antichrist in our lives if we are aware of their influence, if we're aware of their tendencies, and that we can be cautious. And so all these people in our lives that could be the Antichrist, that could be leading us astray, we just mark out. Not taking the person out of there, but taking their influence for bad out. Every one of us has a positive and negative influence on other people, just as everyone in our lives has the same for us. We can take the positive, but we have got to be, as Christians especially, on guard that the negative influences that we might pick up on are paid attention to and are thwarted by trying to avoid them. What can we know and what can we watch out for? Back in Ephesians again, 4 through 6, there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. This passage gets into a lot of sermons. It gets into a lot of studies. Why? I think it's very important when we're talking about people that can deceive us to understand there are not 30, or I can only show 10 ways here. There's not 30, 40, 60, 100 ways to please God. There's one hope of our calling. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one. That's all there is. There's not multiple, and we have to be very careful that we pay attention to that. Colossians 2, 8 and 9. Beware lest anyone cheat you to the philosophy and empty deceit. We talked about this in the first lesson. According to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That is the lesson for you today. Lennon will be happy to report that Roger didn't make you stay here long, and he left that out of his prelude there earlier. So what can you take away from today? The lesson was a little bit unorthodox, and it was done so intentionally. I like to look at things outside the box. It's just the type of person that I am. But I think doing that gets us out of the drone of doing things the same way all the time. I think we've talked about that in the Lord's Supper many times, and I think those in this congregation that lead our minds in preparation for partaking in the Lord's Supper try to do that. Not just say the same old thing every time. That's not what we want to do. We need to be perked up. The purpose of meeting together as a group is to raise our spirits, to raise our awareness to sin, to raise our awareness of our own problems, to try to do more. First lesson, there are people in our lives that are going to bring us to bad places if we let them influence us. Young people, look to the attributes of those around you, aunts, uncles, even parents. And if they are doing things that are outside the Scriptures, take guard of what you see and try to fabricate that into your own lives. The second lesson, and probably the most important point of all, I don't care how many people in your lives are bad influences, how is your influence? How strong are you? When you walk outside here and you go home like, hey, that church thing was good. Now back to my normal schedule. Is that what you jump into? Or are you saying, no, Bible study was really good today. I'm glad I'm a Christian. I'm glad God chose me to be part of this church. And this world's a bad place. What can I do to make it better? Are we thinking like that? I hope it is. This morning, if you have any needs, as we stand and sing the song that's been selected for invitation, I pray that you will come forward and let needs be known or for baptism to be a consideration as we close services this morning. Please stand.